Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Pastor Maradure, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, and how are you?
Very well, thank you. Pastor, how are you doing?
I'm okay, can't complain. Besides the heat of the day, we are good.
Yeah, it's actually quite warm, eh? But we thank God for that nonetheless, eh? Pastor, by the way, those who are joining us and wondering who are we talking to, we're talking to Pastor Marandure, who is going to be talking to us once again about gender roles. It's a theme for the week, Bible Corner, this week at 3:30 every day. So do make sure that you catch him as he speaks to us. And we're talking about gender roles, and today's conversations is going to be focused on how to apply God's standard in the 21st century and what that would look like actually, and what implications would be considering gender equality and modern structure of the typical family. Now, Pastor, having covered the initial roles that Adam and Eve were given in the garden, as you stated yesterday, how do we apply the gender roles in our society currently?
Okay, we can apply the general rules as they were set from creation as far as marriages are concerned. However, we have a bit of a challenge. It seems as times are moving and people are learning, somehow also morals and compasses are being degraded in the process. People are assuming that they are moving forward, yet they are moving backward. Whilst that is happening, I like to believe we all understand the impact of the great controversy, where people feel like changing roles, where people feel better than the other, which is kind of pushed by being selfish. Yeah. That's the motive that we can find. So it's possible to come back to the basics, get to study our Bible, get to know what it means to be in a marriage or a wedlock. What are our functions? What's the function of the husband? What's the function and the roles of a wife as well? The moment we step on each other, and the moment we try to stand in the way of each other, there becomes a serious challenge. Just like in our roads here, much, let me talk of Zimbabwe, South Africa, Southern Africa, we drive to the left, we keep the left. Mm-hmm. And the purpose is to make sure we are all safe as we are in this road. Mm-hmm. The moment you infringe on another lane and you try to say, no, but in America we drive in the right. You see, there are people who try to bring their rights, bring what they've seen elsewhere, try to bring it in this marriage, and saying, and it works out there. That's who we are out there. And there we have serious problems. So let's just stick to our God-given mandates as far as marriage is concerned. Then we have no problem.
Yeah. You know, I don't know if you probably have come across, you know, we've been to weddings, and some of these things are really well used to, well, they're still sung even today. There's a song, it's a Zulu Xhosa song. I don't know if you would be familiar. Umakoti ngowethu uzosiphekela siwashele siyavuma. Now, it's basically say the bride is ours, he's going to cook for us, and he's also going to be doing some washing for us. Now, but that is frowned upon today, that umakoti is not for that, guys. You can't juice umakoti to just come here to be laboring for someone's son. So while way back in the day, let's say in the early 1900s, it was okay, right up until the 30s, maybe the 40s, maybe the 70s even. And you begin to see some changes in the early 2000s, where this becomes now frowned upon with the advent of wokeness, for the lack of a better word. Now, these are the roles that you know, that the man is supposed to be outside and the woman is supposed to be inside the house, etc. And they are said to be stereotypical. Can we still keep to those, though, as a society today?
Okay, let me start from this point, or rather from this premise. The reason why we had our wives or the makotis cooking, washing, doing everything, all those things that have to do, or that that are in regard to house chores, it's because men would go out there work, and women were home.
Yeah.
And men out there working, so he can't be also doing the same things that he must be doing back home.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't mean there was anything wrong with the man cooking, washing, sweeping. No, there was nothing wrong about that.
Yeah.
It's just that.
Yes, Pastor? Ooh, I hope we're not losing him. Pastor?
Maybe after a week or so. So definitely the home was supposed to be functional.
Yes.
And the mother would do those things at home as a way of being a helpmeet and assisting the husband by taking care of the family that is here. But now people say umakoti is ours, she'll do all these things for us. It's because people would live like, as a community, as a big family in one place. So the husband is not there and she's home, but she's not alone. She is with her in-laws and almost like that. People would marry into a family and actually stay in a family, literally. So she would do those things as well to assist, because she cannot come and be a queen and yet she's with her in-laws, whether the mother-in-law is there, there are the aunties, there's everyone there. She would assist just like everyone else would be doing there. But I'm saying now, nowadays, things have changed, because the same women are now going to work.
Yeah.
They're also going to work, and men are also going to work. So these guys, they leave their home, they come back, and they are tired. However, if there's no sin in a man doing house chores, assisting his wife, and his wife assisting the husband, was also the wife can also be in the garden. There's nothing wrong about that.
Yeah.
The wife can also be in the car. There's nothing wrong with that. The husband can also do the dishes. There's nothing wrong with that. I do that as well. I have been taking care of our two children, changing their diapers, cleaning them, bathing them, and all that. There's nothing wrong with that, because this is my work initially, before the helpmeet came into the picture. So she's assisting me on what I can do. My challenge then will come with people who then say, a man must not do these things. And yet the same man is earning a living by cooking in a holiday in a hotel. The same man is earning a living by sweeping around and cooking tea at work. But when it comes home, it feels like, no, this is not my duty. But it's the same thing. So I think it's the mindset that we need to work on. There's nothing wrong when you assist each other. This thing is yours. Do it together. And the problem will only come when now there is something like, this is what you're supposed to do. And it's being forced behind that.
Yeah.
And the stigma associated with that, that turns out to be, as it were, a slave, a servant, which is not supposed to be that. I think love will do better in these circumstances. When someone is being loved, she can almost do almost everything happily, and he can also do things happily, not as a servant, as what people are trying to paint it like.
Yeah. Great stuff. Now, Pastor, I love what you said, man. I love what you said. Now, in a world where women have fought for equality, and rightfully so, is there still room for a husband to be, you know, quote unquote, head of the household? And if so, what does that mean in this day and age? And what would be the implications?
Okay. In this era, yes, where people are fighting for, women are fighting for a fair percentage of their presence and their voice in the family, which is so unfortunate, seen as a way of magnifying things as if they were wrong or they are right, whatever it may be. But there is, it's not like there's room. The father remains the head of the family, even if he is not going to work.
Yeah.
If he needs home, and the wife is the one going to work and bringing in thousands of monies, the head remains the head.
Yeah.
Despite whatever financial implications or whatever is brought to the vantage of the wife, the head remains the head. He's not the head because he's bringing money to the table. That's different. He is the head because God designed him to be the head. And what does the head do? He is the husband. He's not just the husband. He's the husband. He's bringing the family together. He's giving the direction, the chart, and the compass to the family, making the family happy. He is their strength. He's their security. He is the provider even of joy, according to the book of Adventist Home. He must provide joy in the family. Here's someone who then say, what is joy when there's no money? That's not the problem. We have benchmarked everything using money, which is not supposed to be like that. So the husband remains the head of the family. I've seen families whereby the wife earns much more, even if not 20 times more than the husband, but still she is submitting. Because the Bible then says you need to submit to your husband. So when you submit, it means we are not that equal as far as leading the family is concerned. But we are equal in flesh, but our roles are different. I am the head. I'm the one who must bring God to this family. I must officiate on the family altar. That's my responsibility.
Yeah, yeah.
I know Saul was a very powerful man, powerful king, but he needed Samuel to officiate on the altar. Though Samuel was poor, but he is the leader in that aspect. And Saul was the leader in politics. So we need to know, where do we belong? Where do we stand? I'm a wife. I must know where I stand. I'm the queen of this house. These are my responsibilities. He is the husband. He's the king. He has these responsibilities. And the moment we gel them together and we keep them in their place, then we have absolutely no problem. Before money comes, let's establish who is doing what, who's doing what, who's doing what, according to the Bible, not according to the world and according to money. If money plays a role in deciding who is to call shots in this house, then we have a serious problem. We are now under the influence of money and not the influence of God. Yes.
Yeah, I like what you're saying, that the money must not influence who must do what in the home. It is God who must actually do so. So, but another question that is often asked, how can a wife submit to a husband who's clearly out of his depth and not gifted in leadership at all?
Sorry, can you come again with the question?
How can a wife submit to a husband who's really truly out of his depth and there's no clue about what leadership is about?
Oh yeah, it's possible. It's possible, but I believe in our culture when it comes to this one. As we grew up back then, it's unfortunate our culture is being diluted as we go by. A man was known for his duties to hunt, gather, and bring to the family. That one was clear, and that is still godly. A man should go hunt there, bring. But like I said, now the society is different. Also, women are going out hunting.
Mm-hmm.
However, a wife must know her place. Irrespective of how this husband of hers, how he behaves, like you say, he maybe is out of touch of what he's supposed to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
I tell you, I don't think there is someone who will on purpose grow to a point of asking out someone and they have no clue of what they're supposed to do in that marriage, because it's you who first asked her out. You are supposed to be the one leading. Unless if there's a serious challenge, maybe he is acting dumb for a reason or for a cause we may not know where it's emanating from. But everyone knows their place. Even the same women who may try to fight for the headship, they know I'm fighting for the headship, but this is not my place.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just come back to the basics. What does the Bible say? Let's not assume the headship is being used as a way of oppressing. I know and I acknowledge there are people who use the headship for a wrong, for wrongs, for abuse. They end up beating up their wives. They end up strangling them. It's so bad what's happening out there. That's why maybe these governments are now coming out there to try and fight for these rights of these women. And also, there are also women who beat up their husbands and like children, ordering them around, you know. It's just a haphazard environment. The great controversy is just but a pandemic. How we pray God to bring back sanity again.
Now, Pastor, are you saying that notwithstanding the fact that, you know, over and over and over again, the wife would be seen to be bringing better ideas. The wife seems to be the one who's intelligent. She's the one who is smart. She's the one who is always bringing solutions. And this man, when he brings his ideas, they fall flat. And sometimes they're just not working. And it's just a complete shamble. Shouldn't he just hand over the reins?
No.
To a person who actually can do this thing better?
Okay, fine. Okay, here's the thing. The wife may be intelligent more than the husband. It's factual. And people were designed and created in different ways. There are ladies out there who are flying aeroplanes. Man, I can't do that. I'm scared of heights. There's a lady out there who is a doctor, a surgeon, who can actually rip open someone and close and the person is alive. I can't do that. So, but that doesn't mean, because you have a way of seeing things in a different way than my way, that doesn't mean then automatically you become the leader of the family.
I see.
Can EO, wherever you are, and your husband can never be financially literate to understand and conceptualize these figures. But he remains the head of the family. All what is important now is to be humble enough to submit and to know your place. And by so doing, God will bless you in that area. I know but may not be that very literate, even with money. Let's try and invest here. He doesn't understand the language of investing. That's what he is. That's who he is. But it doesn't take his God-given role of being head of the family. Yes, the wife is a CEO. But when we come back home, the father is now supposed to initiate and say, hey, we had a very wonderful day. Now it's now time to pray. And he starts teaching the family, this is the way of the Lord. This is the way of the Lord. And he prays and blesses his children, blesses his wife. The blessings are in that poor, old, and drunk Noah. Even if his children are sober, intelligent, and young, the blessings are still in that old, rugged person. The father has a role. The mother has a role. This has nothing to do with the intellectual capacity that we have. That we need to differentiate intellectual capacity, financial capacity, and even social capacity. The wife may be known better than the husband out there, but the fact remains, this is the husband, this is the wife. I may be better learned than my parents, but that doesn't mean I will become automatically a parent to my parents because I am educated more than them. I remain a child.
Yeah.
So we should know our parents. Yes.
Beautiful. Now, lastly, Pastor, as we wrap up this conversation, does a husband's leadership role, and I think you've answered this in a couple of ways, but really depend on his ability to lead? I mean, is God not able to say, well, I've weighed his strengths and I've weighed his weaknesses, and I think he is in a better role in not serving, seeing that God said we're equal in any case?
Okay. God is already preordained, designated roles. This will change. So when God matches up the husband and the wife to be, when these guys are still dating, he already knows their weaknesses and their strengths. And being together, that complements them. He knows what we are because he's the one who created us. The wife that you have is your wife. She compliments you. That's why I don't have her for a wife, because that would be a disaster.
Yeah, yeah.
So God knows when he puts people together, this wife is more intelligent than this husband. But when these two are together, they are a bomb out there. So God matched them in that way. This husband is more intelligent than the wife. He can budget, he can even buy groceries by himself from head. But the wife needs to buy the groceries after writing them somewhere down so that she will not forget. But this guy, it comes naturally. But why? God brought them together. They are a team. They are a bond together. They complement each other. If not, there are some people who say, hey, this husband is too quiet and the wife is too talkative. I don't think these people are a match at all. No, they are a match in him being too quiet and she's talkative. That God said, this is a good combination. You just don't know when he starts talking. When they're by themselves, you'll be so shocked. He's the one who talks too much when they're by themselves. So it's okay. Whatever it is, the strengths we have and the weaknesses we have, the moment we are put together, that means God saw the match fit. The other one may be tolerant. The other one may be short-tempered. And people wonder, but what happened here? It's not a mismatch. God saw it fit to be like that. So what is more important? The husband, know your place. The wife, know your place. Know you are to submit. Know you are supposed to laugh. Then you gel it together. You make up a team. You know a team, a football team. There's a goalkeeper. He uses his hands when he's playing. But there's this other one who uses his feet to play. But together, when it's a 1-0, it's a team that is one. People will not say, no, but it's that one who put the ball in the net. But that is his hands. No. We are a team. But as we are a team, let us know our roles. Let us know our functions. Let us stick to that. Let's not undermine each other. Let's not look down upon each other. And then we'll be a better and a powerful team.
Beautiful. Well, Pastor, it's been a fantastic one, man. And thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. What a pleasure to have had you. Tomorrow, we are going to be looking at accountability in the role of leadership, using our first parents as an example. But for today, Pastor, I want to thank you so much for coming through.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure. Hope to meet again tomorrow, God willing.
Thank you so much, Pastor.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.